In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one God of heaven and earth. Amen. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Now this prophecy by the prophet Joel is one that warns about impending judgment. This is also evident from the fact that in the same prophecy it is also said that the sun and the moon shall be darkened and the stars shall no longer give their light. The valley spoken about here is the world of spirits where indeed the last judgment took place. And we are told that it appears as a valley. It is the part of the spiritual world that is most directly or closely connected with earth, and in many ways is virtually like it. It is an intermediate state, and this was a state that was the scene of this judgment. And there were indeed multitudes there. There were multitudes of people who, after their death and they had gone to the spiritual world, entered into the so-called imaginary heavens, which were false heavens where the evil deceived and led astray the good. And so for a long, long time, these imaginary heavens existed. And we are told that they became like a dark cloud in the world of spirits that cut out more and more of the light of heaven and from the Lord for people on earth. So the fact is that as long as this cloud existed, there would indeed be darkness among the minds of men on earth. And this again would weaken the communication with the heavens. And this again would weaken the heavens and cause the cloud to grow even darker and larger and so on and so forth. And so to break this vicious cycle, the cloud needed to be dispersed. Dispersed by giving a new light, a new revelation, by establishing a new communication between the Lord and heaven and made on earth. To introduce this new light in such a way that the real nature of the imaginary heavens could be exposed, so that men would have a choice, would be able to make a decision about good and evil, and separate themselves from the evil. And that way, the way would be open for the descent of the new Jerusalem. But this is also relevant in our individual lives as well as in the church as a whole. For this accurately describes in the internal sense the nature and meaning of our life here on earth. We do live in the valley, that is, we live on the most external and material plane. And there are indeed multitudes there. Not just the multitudes, the billions of people who live in this world, but the multitudes, by that is described what we may call the conditions of life on this plane, the earthly plane. By multitudes, we are told, when associated with valley, is represented a great abundance of natural good and truth, that is, external appearances which can be either genuine or deceptive. And the Hebrew word here not only means something that is abundant or a multitude, but also something that is noisy and riotous. In other words, it describes life here with all its misleading and confusing appearances, with its seeming chaos and meaningless at times, with all the threats and challenges that sometimes seem to intimidate and overwhelm us. And we may indeed wonder at times why our valley is like that. And the answer to that is that this is not just any old kind of valley, but this is indeed a valley of decision. That is, we are here to make a choice between the material and the spiritual, between good and evil, between God and ourselves. And to do that, we need to have freedom of choice and also to be able to confirm that choice by overcoming challenges and temptations. And these two can only exist when there are multitudes in the valley. That is, when the presence of the Lord, the evidence of the wonders of his creation and order, the evidence of the activity of his providential care, if these things are sufficiently veiled over in such a way that a certain appearance of confusion and aimlessness may also appear. And when the imperfections and obstacles of life in this world can become vessels of temptation and trials for us. And it is very important to realize that that is why we are here, that that is the essence of our task. Now, it is true that we are also here to perform uses to help our neighbor and also to produce and prepare offspring in such a way that the human race and heaven itself may grow. But these, although very important, nevertheless are what we may call administrating means, subordinated goals and ends, certainly compared to the one great end in view, which is to make that choice between self and God, between evil and good. And nothing matters more than that, because all else springs from that and depends on that. The fact is that sometimes we become so involved in the struggle in this valley that we forget that. We become so immersed in the wearying pursuit of worldly pleasures and possessions and our selfish desires that we are weakened by that, so much so that, like Moses, our hands, our powers begin to fall down. It is, as we also taught in the Arcana Celestia about Moses on the mountain, that and when he let down his hand signifies when faith with them looked downward or away from the Lord to self and the world. And as we look downward into the valley of external life, as we lose sight of the real issue, as we begin to evaluate our lives in terms of temporal and earthly standards, then we are liable to become depressed as time goes by. If we go through the long process of our broken dreams and dashed hopes, our frustrated ambitions, our disappointed expectations, and our wasted opportunities, we can begin to feel like we are failures and have been cheated. We may begin to feel like we really have accomplished nothing at all and gotten nowhere, either on the natural or on the spiritual plane. And we begin to retreat, to be weakened, just as the Israelites were. And that is when we need to be reminded of what this really is all about. That is to make the choice to lift our hands, our minds, and our eyes to the Lord. Because it's true that the battle is fought in this valley, but It is one on the mount. For in that choice, the call and supplication to the Lord, and he draws near, in that is the key to a full and final victory. It is, as we are taught in the work on conjugal love, that consent precedes marriage and is the essential of marriage. So we may also say, as is said in the Arcana Celestia, that a choice precedes the marriage of good and truth. In other words, this choice we make here on earth in our lives here is that which is the essential of the marriage of good and truth, which is the state of regeneration, the heavenly state. And so that is the one supreme reason for being here, to enter into that state of commitment, to dedicate and rededicate ourselves to this. And thus it is that everything is guided and bent by the divine providence in such a way that we may be led to crossroads in life and make a choice there, because that is the one thing that must be done. All else can wait if necessary. Whatever our lot or path in life may be, we are headed there, making the choice between good and evil, between the strong and the weak, the successful and the failures, the rich and the poor, the proud and the humble. We all have to go through that process, because that is the universal gate that leads us to our eternal dwelling place. And that is also why Joshua spoke to the Israelites before entering the promised land and said to them, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.